what are you doing? Tynan is just like hands to his temples.
Okay, Sable. I have some shit I gotta come clean about today on this podcast. Okay.
Okay.
I was gonna text you this last weekend, but I was like, no, I think I need to save it for when the mics are hot. Listen, I talk a lot of shit on this podcast, but in the interest of honesty, I have to level it out with truth. So I've come here with facts. My like best friend was in town last weekend, and it was just like, you know, a full 3 days of dumb bitchery. And on Saturday we went, we're running around and we went to this, I'm sorry, I've like hijack this intro.
just go with it.
I promise you it'll get there. We went to this like pregame in Chelsea when you walk in, and there's like 20 guys that are like 2 foot tall and 4 foot wide, all like drop dead gorgeous. And I was like, okay, no one's talking to me here, fantastic. Turns out everyone was lovely, we had a great time, but I'm talking to this guy, and halfway through I'm like, wait, you smell really good, what are you wearing? And when I tell you, this motherfucker squares up, looks me dead in the face, and goes, oh, I'm wearing Santal 33. Have you heard of it? Sable, when I tell you, I'm still like visibly recoiling from
it. I am shocked.
He might as well have just like reached his hand in my mouth, grabbed my jaw, and tore it off my face. Like,
wait, what did you say?
I thought back to that this week. I was like, what did I do?
Yeah. Like was he just like, okay. No,
I think I just like feigned politeness. And I was like, yeah, I love it. But the thing is, I was talking to him and he was rambling about God knows what. And I was like, he smells really good. This is great. Like, I gotta know what this is. Maybe I'll pick this up for myself. What happened?
You realize what you've done, right? Like, see, now he's got it in his little brain that he's like, oh, this is the best fragrance. Everyone compliments me on this fragrance. Mm-hmm. And he's going to tell everybody, and then everybody's going to buy Santal 33 because they're like, I hear this gets you a lot of compliments. Mm-hmm. And it does. Yeah. They're correct.
Well, I mean, I'm certainly not the first person to start that. But then.
You got.
But then, the next day, we were out to dinner with a couple friends, and another one of them smelled really good. So I said, you smell good. And he was like, thanks. It's Le Labo Rose, whatever the fuck, with Eccentric Molecules 01 over it. And I'm like, I've like lost everything elite that I move. Knew. You know?
Do I respect it? I don't know.
It was good. But I was like, wow. A Rose Le Labo scent with a skin scent over it. Please just put me out of my misery.
I'm going to have to drag you to the Le Labo store.
Like, have I...
We're going to have to indoctrinate you.
I have clearly, like, this is cosmic karma.
I think it is.
Do I like it?
Is this like one of those like rom-coms where like two enemies fall in love?
Literally. Oh, no. Maybe we should... There's one around here, right?
There is.
Next time we record on a weekend day, let's go. Oh, my God. Wait, let's go before we record.
Yes. Let's do that.
Okay, so I was like, I can't not.
I'm very surprised.
I know, same. It just, and also, it really didn't smell on him like it smells on almost everyone I've smelled it on.
I'm sure it can't have, otherwise you would not have.
No, I would have left the party.
Like, Santal 33 to me is like very, it has a signature.
Yeah, it's very distinct.
Like, sure, there's nuance with every different person who wears it, right. But like, it is very distinct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Once again, the joke is on me. Send in the clowns. God.
Oh, man.
Welcome back to Smelly Later and
my trauma.
You
know, I'm glad that
trauma.
You did tell me that on the air.
I mean, like I said, I talk enough shit on this show that like, if that, I could not, you know, level with that. If I kept that to myself, I'd walk out of here and get hit by a car.
We're authentic.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we don't hold back much here.
No, we don't. I'm trying to remember the last time I asked a person what they were wearing.
I always. And I'm like, is that obnoxious? Should I shut the fuck up?
No. I think people like when they're asked that.
I think so too. But I know you shouldn't ask about people's tattoos. So it's like, what's the difference?
I just don't give a shit about people's tattoos. That's true. Oh, cool. I don't need to know this fucking story about
No, this. I don't want to know the story. Yeah. No.
If anything, I'm just like, heh, that's funny. If it's a funny tattoo or a cute tattoo, I'm like, heh.
Yeah.
But like with fragrance, I'm always like, what is this?
Right. I mean, things have a funny way of coming back around.
They sure do.
I earned this.
Speaking of, Tynan, what are you smelling today?
Oh, I feel very conflicted about what I'm wearing because of the recent history that the brand has.
Uh-oh.
It's from Victoria's Secret. And I know that we don't historically fuck with them because of their disrespect of trans women and trans people, and also all of the other transgressions.
I don't know why in my brain the fragrance is separate from the lingerie. To me, they're two different things.
Agreed, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I know that's not true, but I'm totally with you.
But
because the fragrances and body are so much more iconic in a different way. There's such a different form of nostalgia there.
For me, because I didn't buy Victoria's Secret bras because I didn't have boobs. Same. So. And also I think their underwear was like 3 for $30 or sure. 5 for, and in my teenage mind, I'm like, that's way too expensive.
Right.
I'm like, I'm going to Costco.
Right. You know? So I actually remember in your later days at Allure, you had me write something about Victoria's Secret fragrances, but it was under the umbrella of low key fuck this brand, but they've done look back. It made sense at the time. I don't know what it was.
Okay.
Anyway,
fair enough.
I'm wearing a Victoria's Secret scent. It just came out. And yes, I did call it in. And here I am talking shit about them. But I called it in because you are right. Their scents are iconic. And
I didn't say that. You did.
Okay, you said something like, and I elaborated on it. It's not like we're recording this or anything. We can't fact check. The fragrance is called Victoria's Secret Tease Creme Cloud.
Creme Cloud.
And I was like,
it's a fucking cloud.
Did again. Somebody say cloud?
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? Why don't you just send that to me? And
I know it as the Madison Beer scent.
Yeah. Madison Beer is the face of it. Inexplicably.
Random. Very random to me.
Yeah.
Really odd pick. I like Madison Beer though.
Okay, and
I think,
same.
I think a lot of people do too. So
she's an Ariana Grande bootleg.
From a marketing perspective, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
From a branding perspective, I am confused, but I will allow it.
The branding perspective, they did her dirty. They're just they just pointed at Ariana Grande and they're do that. Anyway, the album's really good. So
really?
I was talking shit about her, and my friend was like, you don't like her album? I was like, no, I've never listened to it. Why do I do that? So I listened to it and I was like, oh, this is pretty good.
It's good.
Yeah. It's it's good in the way that they took everything good from Ariana, Lana Del Rey, Billie Eilish.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like Madison Beer's music is a little darker than Ariana's.
Yeah.
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 It's more moody.
Right.
For sure.
It's her Thank You Next era. So. Anyway. So I'm wearing
Tease
Creme Cloud. For a minute, I couldn't figure out what the name was because I was why are there so many words on this label? But as you pointed out, Tease is the franchise name. Creme Cloud is the flanker.
Right.
This all makes sense. I think if we're rebranding a company, I might start a new franchise. What do I know?
Maybe for a licensing legal perspective, they can't make Cream Cloud the main name. Right. I don't know.
So it's really good. And I really like it. I mean, long story short, it's fantastic.
It smells like what the name implies.
Exactly.
Which I like.
Exactly that. And it's doing a few things that are happening right now, but it's just really a pleasant, really nice wear. Number one, it is not any sort of a bootleg on Cloud by Ariana Grande. However,
very different.
But they saw each other in the hallways. You know, it is very not the same at all, but same weight, same sort of fizzy, foggy texture in a really nice way. But scent wise, it is different enough that you can separate it completely. It also, we were talking before we started recording, it's not a skin scent at all, but it has a lot of skin scent elements.
Yeah.
And you know how I feel about those, but this is just really nice. At the top, there's meringue and vanilla. In the middle, there's sandalwood. And at the base, there is amber and musk. And those top notes make it sound very sweet, which of course I would gravitate toward, but it's really not. I think the sandalwood flower, I think I call it sandalwood. It's sandalwood flower in the middle. That's really the star of the show here. Along with the musk pulling up at the base, it's very cottony, but without smelling like sheets.
It's almost like cotton candy-ish to me.
But without, it's so much less sweet than I expect it to be. It's just,
it's more powdery than sweet.
Mm-hmm. And you pointed out that it smells a little bit like almond.
Yeah.
And Yeah. There's like a nutty texture to it. I keep smelling myself. I'm sorry. I'm fucking mic'd. It's really great. And like, I think it's cool. I mean, like,
the first thing I thought of when I smelled it is that it kind of smells like the store.
Yeah.
Like when you walk past the store.
Yeah, I see that.
It has like a little bit of that in there.
Yeah. I'm not saying this because I'm like a delusional stan, but Cloud by Ariana Grande is a very successful fragrance that people outside of, you know, me are aware of. They really like it. It's won awards, etc. So we have seen influences of that both aesthetically and scent-wise show up in different things in the, oh my God, 3 years since it's released. Fuck me.
That's it? Only 3 years?
I think, it was my last, my last apartment in Madison. I had just moved in there. Wow. So, I
don't know. I thought it had been around much longer.
No. But I guess what I mean is it's had enough time to like seep its way in to the industry.
So Zeitgeist.
I don't think the Cloud name is like super surprising here.
Yep.
But I like that they took the concept, went in a completely different direction, but still did it really well.
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, it's a Victoria's Secret scent. I'm canceled. But I really
you
like it.
You smell like a sexy cloud.
I do.
Like, who doesn't want to be a sexy cloud?
That's really all I'm ever going like, for.
I'm puffy. I'm pleasant.
Right.
But I might fucking rain all over you. What I don't understand is their bottles, it has, like, a little neckerchief. But it's like this little like fishnet tool thing that strikes me as a bit odd.
I really hate that.
Like the bottle itself is kind of just like a faceted rectangle
cube. Yeah,
it's rectangle like a faceted cube.
The bottle's pretty. I mean, it's simple and faceted. It's
I'm
like,
just like, so why this weird little net thing on it? I don't know. I think that's just like part of their canon. Like all of their bottles have it, so they just like have to keep going with it.
Yeah, so much for the rebrand.
I guess. But the bottle is a cool, like, frosty, translucent white.
Yeah, it looks cloud, like...
Which I think is really cool.
I was going to say it looks like cum, but I shouldn't say that.
It looks like cum. It's okay. We can say it.
Sable, what do you smell like today?
Oh, boy. I smell like our man, Adam Driver. Or what I presume he smells like now that he has a fucking big-ass Burberry deal.
Yeah.
But I'm wearing Burberry Hero, which was sent to me. And I had no expectations. I was just like, oh, this is the Adam Driver scent where he's like a sexy centaur in a commercial. Fucking weird commercial. But like, psychotic. I mean, you know what? All fragrance commercials are kind of psychotic.
That's true.
But at least this one had like a kind of wacky, like, I don't know. I kind of like when it's a little wacky like that.
Yeah.
And like unexpected, but like not in a campy way. Like, of course, I'm coming up bone dry now off the top of my head. But like, okay, like I get like when they're like, oh, we want to create like a fantasy element. But like this one is like a plot twist because it's like, here's Adam Driver running on a beach next to a horse also running on the beach. And they're both like running like as fast as they can towards the water. It just feels very urgent. I don't know why. And FKA Twigs, I don't forget the song name, but FKA Twigs is like in the background singing the song, not the person. And they like... both jump in the water. They're swimming. There's all these like kind of slow motion shots of like Adam Driver's abs. And
I didn't
then, like,
know horses could swim. Yes! I was like, it's gonna drown.
Yes, they can. Horses can swim. And it like cuts in between them. And there's all these like kind of translucent fades. And then I kind of called it before it happened because the way they were like cutting them together, I'm like, are they implying that Adam Driver and the horse are becoming one? And then the last shot of this like minute long ad is like a silhouette of a centaur on the beach. And then I was like, oh, okay. So he just like became part of the horse. But it's such like a split second that you're just like, what the fuck?
It's so weird. It's and so like weird. Surreal. I don't know. But like, I kind of like it though.
I know. I love it. But I'm also just like, what the fuck did I just see?
Honestly.
But anyway, the scent. Okay. So I kind of expected it to smell just like a whatever designer men's fragrance and it's not that it doesn't smell like that but it has like a modern updated edge to it that like I really like. Actually, I wasn't expecting to like it that much. Like I kind of smell like a who's the Ryan Reynolds character in Crazy Stupid Love? Like I feel like I smell like him.
Okay.
No, Ryan Gosling, not Ryan Reynolds.
They're all the same.
Yeah, one of the Ryans, one of the Chris's, whatever. Like a really like, I don't know, it's smoky and a little bit like it has like a steeliness to it.
Okay.
Like a cool steeliness to it, but then it's also kind of leathery and smoky at the same time. And then when I'm wearing it, like right when I spray it on, I'm just like, this is clearly a masculine scent. And then as it like fades down, I'm like, oh, it's getting a little sweeter.
Wait,
it's getting a little riper and a little like juicier.
Not riper.
Riper.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. No. I know. You would hate it. You would hate it, but.
Oh, God. Get it away.
But it's like kind of sexy in like a he's not my type way.
Wait, what if? You know what this smells exactly like?
No, what?
Kissing a boy that just shaved.
Ooh.
With like the remnants of
the aftershave.
Like he's shaved everything off, but he has the shaving cream film on him.
Very sleek, minimalist interpretation of like old world like glamour. Like old world manly glamour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I time traveled to the past and then seduced some hunky World War II pre-veteran.
Hmm. I would I was gonna say
you're so triggered.
I was gonna say that I would wear. I'm curious to see how that blooms on the skin, because I think the
bloom is far superior.
I was just smelling the atomizer, obviously. Yeah. So, in its defense, was not the full ride. I would wear that once.
To test it,
because I am a professional journalist.
It's like when you like see a finance bro at the bar and you're like, ugh, this motherfucker, I know what he's about. Mm-hmm. And then like you talk to him and you're like, oh wait, actually you're really funny. Actually you're really smart. Actually you like might be a decent human being.
It's a trap.
It could be a trap. It could not, or you could just be like living your trophy wife dreams. Who knows? Take a gamble. Hmm. One life to live, you know? True. There's always divorce. Who knows? I will say though, I really like the bottle.
Bottle's cool.
The bottle is like, as far as like designer fragrances go, well, no, fuck that. Like, I mean, in general, it's like the shape is kind of like a rhombus, a parallelogram.
You're asking the wrong person.
I think it's a parallelogram.
Is it just a square?
No, it's like a little bit like it has like a.
Oh.
Yeah. See that? Like it almost looks like a rectangle.
Say, well, I can smell it.
You have to wait. You have to get to know him.
I don't know about all this.
I feel like I just like brought a new boyfriend to meet my friends and they're like, Sable, what are you doing? Like, he is not for you.
Oh my God. I'm going to take your word that this gets better. No disrespect to Burberry.
I think it's interesting.
I like every other Burberry fragrance.
I think it's a great in between for people who have only ever known designer fragrances and are like a little too basic or intimidated by like niche artisanal fragrances.
Sure.
Like I feel like it's an in-between for that.
Okay.
But yeah, the bottle's really cool. It's like very minimal aesthetic and
it almost looks like a bottle of aftershave.
Yeah.
Or like anything else square.
Every time I see the name Burberry, all I can think of is my Korean grandfather saying the word Burberry in his extremely heavy Korean accent, which just sounds like Bobody. And then one time my dad, I think it was like a hand-me-down from my grandpa. It was like a wool Burberry scarf, like a nice wool scarf. And my dad was looking for it because it was like his one nice, like warm scarf. And he was like, have you seen my blueberry scarf?
Yes, absolutely.
And I was like, what the fuck are you, what? And then he found it. He's like, oh, there it goes. I'm like, did you mean to say Burberry?
Obsessed with that.
And he's like, yeah, blueberry. It's like, oh, dad.
That's cute.
Yeah. But yeah, Koreans love Burberry. So
can you blame them?
Bobody. Anyway, RIP, grandpa.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of designer fragrances.
Yeah, Sable.
And all of the places we find them.
Who do we have on the show today?
We have my IG acquaintance. I learned this word recently, parasocial relationships. Of like people who aren't, you don't know in real life and you're not actually friends with, but you have like a rapport on social media, so it feels like you're friends.
Mm.
Like one of those people.
Yeah.
We have Lauren Tamaki. She is an incredible illustrator. Her doodles are in every mainstream publication. Like, I swear to God.
Take out your phone that you're listening to this podcast on right now and follow her. It's Lauren Tamaki. Lauren, like Lauren, Tamaki, all one word on Instagram. Her work is incredible. I can't stop stuttering.
Yep. So, like, we just followed each other years ago, just, you know, talking shooting the shit about beauty stuff. I've always loved her illustrations. And then when we kind of put out a call a couple of weeks ago looking for someone, we were looking for like a very specific kind of person who had a role. Basically, we're just like, so who's ever like worked at a perfume counter at a department store? And she responded and like had this like relic of a backstory. And I was like, dude, you got to tell us everything on the pod. And graciously, she has agreed to come on the pod.
I'm so excited. We've been talking about having like a department store perfume person on here for so long, but we're like, how do we find that?
I know, like this was like one of our like original ideas of like the type of people we want to talk to on this podcast.
We need a manager.
We do.
We cannot be managed.
That's just like, what are you managing? I don't know. Chaos. That's what you're managing.
Literally.
But I'm sure a lot of you feel the same way, that your first interactions with like capital P perfume are going to the mall, walking through the department store, mm-hmm. and seeing all the glamorous ladies spraying perfume. And then like maybe your mom was like, get away from me, and like, don't spray my child. And like, I don't know, like I thought that was like one of the most glamorous things you could be, was like a lady who worked at a fragrance counter mm-hmm. in the mall. And then as I grew up and like held retail jobs myself, I was like, wait, does that like suck?
Right.
Especially like having to deal with people, like basically like having to spray people, like passersby, and then them being like, ah, get away from it.
Right.
Like, God, like what a, of all the retail like sales positions to hold, like that must be one of the trickiest ones. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know. I mean, I'm a cynic, so I tend to think of things negatively, but I'm just like, I hope people are nice to the perfume girls. They're just doing their job.
Right.
They're not trying to accost you with fragrance. I mean, also, yes, they are. But that's why we want to talk to somebody.
Yeah, I mean, I have, know. I have so many things to ask.
We want to know the tea. So
let's do it.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm Lauren Tamaki, and I'm an illustrator. And I worked as a perfume demo for 10 years on and off. And that's what we're here to talk about. You know, it's so refreshing to talk not about illustration or anything like that. I will tell anybody who's in earshot of my time as a fragrance demo. So I'm so happy.
That's amazing, because like we're just like social media mutuals, and I know you because of your illustrations. And I was like, whoa, you've like drawn for every major like mainstream publication.
Totally.
So I love hearing when people have like kind of like second lives or just like these like total career switches. Like, I think that's so cool.
Well, I never thought of it as like when I started when I was 16. So just kind of rewind it back. So I started when I was 16 because my mom was like this regional manager for this perfume company that imported all the Italian perfumes into Canada. So I grew up around perfume. There were like these big factice around that house. Like all, you know, those, I'm sure you guys have talked about those like large fake perfume bottles filled with like,
oh my God.
Yeah. So is it real perfume in them or not?
Absolutely not.
Okay. No, absolutely. That makes more sense. I mean, I'm a little disheartened, but it does make sense.
You know, you could buy the juice and fill it up yourself. Like that is a total option for those big.
I love just having them as like a decor object.
Yeah.
I love that.
They're so gorgeous. And I don't know if I'm sure she didn't steal them. I'm sure it was all above board, but they're usually only in the department stores, right? As like these, maybe they're even outdated. I don't know if they do them anymore, but so that was like our vibe. Like mom was the perfume person. She had a license plate that said Italian perfumes. She was in it.
So funny.
You know, I must have asked her, I must have begged her, because she was in charge of hiring all of the demos for the region. And I was like, oh, when I get old enough, I want to do this. And because I would always visit her in the store, and she's so elegant, and she has scarves, and she's like charming the pants off everybody. And I'm like, I want to do that. Like, I want to be her, you know, she's an amazing lady. Hi, mom.
We stand moms on this podcast.
Of course. Like,
how old am I? 38. So that was like 1999. Like 2000 when I started, and you know, like the prime time peak of everything, right? Early 2000s. So I did, you know, like I said, I did it for around like 10 years, like when I would come home from college for in the summertime and Christmas, and I would just, it would always be there for me. And I would work at like the Bay, which is a kind of equivalent to Macy's.
Okay.
Sears, Holt Renfrew, which is kind of equivalent to Barney's, but not as good. Or, you know.
It's like Canadian Barney's.
Yeah. So that's kind of how it started. And the fragrances, because I feel like you would be interested in this. So the specific fragrances that
yes, please.
this company. So one of your faves, Lolita Lampica, was one of them. Yeah. So Ferragamo, Roberto Cavalli, Versace, Dolce Gabbana, Mulgari, Romeo Gigli, who had the best bottles, by the way, back in the day. Romeo Gigli, like, get into this gig. Like, it is, they are just like, so anyway. A bottle episode, maybe, you know, just full bottle talk. Yeah. So those were obviously, and so those were a little bit, you know, grown up fragrances for a 16-year-old to be talking about. So, you know, she, you know, I asked my mom one of the, you know, kind of questions you posted to me, like, did I have any training? I'm like, Mom, did you train me? Did I know what I was doing? What I want? And she's like, yeah, I trained you, you know, on talking to customers and whatnot. But it really was when it came to like knowing the notes and, you know, compositions of the fragrances, we had like a big binder that we could just flip through, which it's not a good look if you're in front of a customer. And but we always had that.
Yeah, but I feel like, I mean, back then, there were so, I mean, like, paper and, like, binders and things were so much more commonplace, you know what I mean? Like, we didn't have iPhones in our pockets just to whip up anything we wanted, or, like, an iPad behind the counter. So I feel like it's probably not as bad of a look as you look back on it being, you know what I mean?
Maybe. I guess it's just you wanted that seamless, like, oh, I know.
Yeah.
Everything. Yep. The expertise. But also, though, like, with how you said you were watching your mom do all this and she like trained you however casually or seriously. I feel like when you watch a parent do something like that, or really anyone that you admire do something like that, there's like, you may not be learning it textbook, but like you're learning the performance. Osmosis. And like, you're learning like the sell of it all and like the drama. And I'm sure that like that, you know, you absorb that, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. And it's funny because yeah, that presentation and the drama and that kind of putting it on. I got so good at it that I would flip into it. And then, you know, my boyfriend at the time was like, oh, that's your demo voice. Are you going to do the demo voice now and all that kind of thing? Because it would be mode you would flip into, like the sales girl vibes.
Totally.
People have said that to me too before. And I'm like, fuck off.
That's I worked retail in my early 20s. So okay. I have the voice. Maybe not anymore, but I did have a voice.
I just sound gay.
Me too. Yeah, I feel like it's, I wonder if I could do it now. I feel like I probably do it when I talk in some official capacity to somebody, like a government agency or something. I probably try and put on my adult voice, which I don't even know what that sounds like, but I'm sure somebody will tell me. But yeah, no, I loved watching her and picking up on it. And it is something like, obviously, the more you do, you learn on the job and that sort of thing.
Right. So when you say demo, like a demo is a person who demonstrates fragrances in a retail setting.
Yeah, demo, short for demonstrator.
Okay. Because I always wonder, I'm like, what are they called? Like, okay, like shop girls, it's like the colloquial term for like a girl who works at a shop. But like, specifically the fragrance people, I'm like, are they called perfume girls? Are they called like what?
And wait, so that's... But I think I just got confused. You were behind the counter, but that's what they called you, right?
Yeah, because, you know, so the crazy thing about the whole, if you see, you go into the department store, you see all these ladies like lurking, 90% of them are going to be working for a specific company and not for Macy's or the Bay or whatever. Gotcha. So they're going to be going in there for Givenchy. They're going to be going in there for like Angel, like all that sort of thing. Gotcha. And so, yeah, demonstrators, maybe they call them something different in the States, but that was it.
That makes sense. Yeah.
That does make sense.
Demo. I don't know what I was expecting. I think I was like, the perfume girl.
I like perfume girl. Like, wait, isn't it like a Madonna song? Like, candy perfume girl?
Yes. From the Ray of Light album.
Absolutely. Yes, bitch. You got it. Yeah, it's not a very glamorous name, and it, to be honest, it's not a very glamorous job. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Well, that's the thing, because like, it's funny because fragrance, I feel like there's such, like, you're right, there's such a performance involved in fragrance, but then the actual act of, you know, selling it in a retail environment is probably not that at all, or just, it just has probably so many facets that people don't see outside of it unless they've experienced it themselves.
Well, that's the thing. It's, it, you know, working in a mall, it has its own thing, right? So these department stores are always in malls. So you drive up to the mall, you try and find a spot when it's busy. Sometimes, like, I've had situations where I've just gone home because I couldn't find a parking spot, but that's, you know, something else. Like any other job, it becomes very mundane. And also, because you don't have the job of folding sweaters or stock or anything like that, right, you are literally standing around for hours. If it's not busy, you are just
standing there
and
arranging the blotters.
You can arrange a blotter. You can arrange a bunch of testers. You can talk to people. Hopefully you like the people you work with, you know, right, because it's so much just dead ass boring time. Yeah, and that's when you kind of, you know, they say, oh, if it's slow, spray a bunch of blotters, you know, with the new thing you're supposed to be shilling and walk around. You could walk around in the actual mall if you want or whatever. But that never worked. No, first of all, people would either, like, shield their children from you. It's like, no, you stay away, you know, or they'll be... You like, okay, so there's three modes. People are either, they think you're the Antichrist, or they want to be your best friend, or they really just want to get in, get out, especially with department stores, because people kind of know a lot of the time what they want when they're walking up to you.
I totally can see that. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I was probably more of like the timid, stay away from me kind of, just because I felt like, I don't want you to waste your time doing your whole spiel, and then I'm like, sorry, I'm poor. But like,
you still have stay away from me energy, though.
I think that's just it's just too ingrained.
So
now.
Do I, though.
Like, I can't stop.
I just, you know, you never want to be approached in a retail setting ever. Like, I know what I want. Go away.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's like, we know what we want. So it's like, okay, cool. But I do like talking to people who work in shops sometimes.
Me too.
Just, like, interested in stuff. I'm like, what's that? Like, tell
but
me about
you have
that.
To go up to them.
Yes. I want to be the one to ask the question.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, like, the instigator, the aggressor. Yeah.
Like, tell us about the people who, like, want to be your best friend at your job.
Oh shit. Okay.
Or like the women who, like, live in the mall. Did you see, like, the same people all the time going there to walk? Did people come to the fragrance counter once a week? Like, I know there are many yes, types of, like, mall archetypes, you know?
This was a while ago, so maybe my memory is not so great, but I feel it's very transitory, you know. It was just that exchange, and then we'd leave, you know, if it was a good exchange, a bad exchange. The people who wanted to be your best friend, it was usually like a one-time thing, like one night stand. Like, they would cozy up to you for like an hour, tell you things you don't want to hear. I mean, we all, like, if we've worked retail, we know this, right? Yes. If you have this public facing thing, you're going to run into a whole bunch of people. So, you know, you want to save special stories for special story time, but one of my favorites.
It is special story time. Let's go.
Now is the time.
So I was working at Holt Renfrew, you know, Bardi's of the North, what have you. So we're just dead day, whatever. And a lot of the times you're not even supposed to show fragrances that aren't part of your company, but of course it happens. You're not going to not pick up a bottle and spray it for somebody, especially if you're bored. So right, this woman, she comes in and she's really manic, and she's really, show me this, show me that. So I'm spraying. And then I show her Alexander McQueen Kingdom, which was hot new shit at the time. And she smells it, and she's like, you know what this smells like? It smells like Snatch.
Whoa. Not Snatch.
No, God.
You can't be like, get away from me. You can't exit the situation. You just got to be like, I think he meant to have that animalistic edge to it for sure.
Totally.
I think that's kind of how I spun that one. So that's like one of those, you know, way too intimate right away type of people. And yeah, you know.
You're so right about having any job in retail or service or anything public facing. Like you said, there you do have to, for better or worse, just be on all the time and be ready. Like you are sort of, for like trapped. Whether you like it or not, trapped and are forced to like bear the brunt of whatever these people throw at you. You know what I mean? And you're just like the bearer of whatever happened to them that they that they're now putting on you. It's just do not miss
it. I mean, I honestly prefer that over standing around for an hour with no soul in sight. I feel like, you know, and because it was like mostly women or what, I have only one story of getting like hit on actually when I first started when I was 16, which is a little,
which is dicey.
It's a little dicey, but it's so funny that the stories that actually stick in my mind. It was this guy comes up and he's like, show me this one. And he's like, spray it right here. And then he rolls up his shirt and flexes as hard as he can, spray it right here. Please. And that was Dolce & Gabbana.
Of course it was.
He bought it, obviously. And then he's like, can I have your number? And I should have been like, I'm 16, but I didn't. I gave him my number. Oh my God, yes. Mom.
Oh my God.
I know. No, you know, forget this story, Mom. But like, it's. And then I remember one of the older, well, actually, you know, everybody was older than me by 20 to 30 to 40 years. So one of these ladies, she's like, honey, just say you have a boyfriend. They can't sell you a vacuum cleaner if you already have a vacuum cleaner. So I was like, it's all nuggets from those, you know, 6-year-olds you're working with when you're 16. And yeah.
That's so funny.
I too have definitely done the panic number give where you're like, I don't know how to say, like, I don't feel comfortable saying no, but then like
you're on the spot.
You're on the spot, and then like in my brain I'm like, I'll just give them the wrong number, and then they're like, I'll text you right now. And I was like, fuck,
save my number in front of me.
I know,
no,
it's so cringe.
I don't have a phone.
I know. Can't say that anymore.
Now that you say that, I must have given him my home phone number.
He's like calling your house and like getting your mom on the phone.
Yeah, I was 16.
Yeah,
when did he get called?
That's so funny.
Yeah, so the people were definitely the most interesting part. Even though, like I said, I love fragrance. I'm such a, you know, to this day, always have a few in rotation. And of course, the perk was that you get all the free shit you want.
So, but. Like, because you stole it or what? Because that's what I...
Excuse me?
I
how dare you?
I know you get a lot of free stuff, but I don't know. I mean, I would steal.
I'm just joking. I probably stole a little bit, but it was the testers, because those are very, like... And those were currency. If you like something from somebody else's line, you could say, hey, you know, meet me in the parking lot, bring a bottle of that. And the testers, because, of course, the companies kept track, but it wasn't inventory. It wasn't... anything special like that. So yeah, because especially since it was so abundant, anything I could get from this, you know, all these Italian perfumes, that's not what I wanted. I wanted, you know, other shit. So I remember exchanging for like a hypnotic poison, which was my shit back in the day. Mm-hmm. Loved it. What else did I wear back in the day? Oh, the one I really loved from the lines that we actually did carry was Bulgari Red Tea. You guys ever?
I have heard of that.
Yes.
And I think that I've smelled it, but I don't remember what it was like.
Well, it's got like walnuts, you know, obviously red tea on the top note, but it has this very earthy, light feeling to it. And I just, I adored it. I couldn't put enough of that on. It
sounds really good. That sounds very you, Sable.
It does sound very me.
You know,
yeah.
You love a tea scent.
I've become, yes, much more acquainted and obsessed with tea scents as I'm learning about them.
I think I might be discontinued.
Probably. But, I do remember being taught how the brand name Givenchy is pronounced by a perfume girl. Like walking past to be like, and she was just like, would you like a sample of Givenchy? And I was like, skirt. How, what did you say? Like, it's not Givenchy. Like, right.
What? I think I was saying that until I heard it like in a Rick Ross song, and I was like, oh, that's how you say it. Huh.
So I was like, ah, forever indebted to the Perfume Girls, who correctly pronounce the names of things I don't know.
And now we host the pod. And now yes. We host the podcast where we don't know how to fucking say anything.
Yep, where we mispronounce words all the time.
I can't even remember. No matter how many times somebody tells me to pronounce certain things, I'll never get it, and I'm okay with that now.
Yeah, yeah. There are bigger things to worry about. You're fine.
That's true. Yeah.
The Givenchy salespeople were the, like, because different companies get different reps for being different ways. And the Givenchy girls, established women, would be so aggressive. They would, they had the ref, oh, you know, Shayna's in today. Don't go over there. They were always, not always, they were mostly nice, but they had quotas to fill. Mm-hmm. They had stuff to move, you know. So that they had an angel also reputation, like they will cut a bitch to get the sale. So
yeah. It's so funny. Were there like spray zones where it's like, don't like stay in your lane or like stay in your spray zone?
100%. It was, wow. You know, because you have all everything is kind of clumped together.
Yeah.
In, you know, I did you take a good look at that photo I sent you?
Yes. It's exactly as I imagined. Like when I think of a mall or department store setting, like it's just kind of these like gridded out counters and everyone sort of gets the same amount of space. But then it's a bit amorphous as like how far can you walk away from the counter? Right. Like how do you go out to greet people, you know?
Well, you got to stay in your little chunk for the most part, but then you can kind of venture out and do your thing, but never in front of like the angel counter.
Right.
God forbid.
Have there been any like awkward altercations of just like, go to your back to your square?
Yes, many. I think the one that I remember, because heavy guilt in this star sign of mine and yours, Sable, I know. So I remember
cancers.
Yes, special people. So the guilt stuff weighs on you and you remember it for decades and decades and decades. So I remember a situation where a very established perfume brand in Canada is Sexuelle by Michel Germain. Do you know Sexuelle?
No.
I am not familiar with Sexuelle.
You don't need to be familiar with it. It was a huge seller because they said, this has pheromones in it. And if you wear it, it's going to attract all these lies.
Yes.
So the little troll that sold this perfume, he never liked me, whatever. He was really standoffish. And I remember taking, because sometimes you have a customer and you show them your stuff first and then they say, well, I want to see this. So you kind of, you know, escort them around every counter, these little satellites. And I remember getting to Sexuelle by Michel Germain and I sprayed it for him. And of course, there's different techniques. When you're spraying something for somebody and you don't want them to like it, you hand it to them right away. So they smell the alcohol and they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Techniques.
Oh, sabotage.
Absolutely.
Sabotage. Tell us more.
Well, that's kind of one of my only tricks. But and so he's like, oh, I don't like that. The person I was showing it to. And I'm like, yeah, it's pungent. And I was, you know, I walked away and then I hear a couple days later, oh, there's been a complaint about you. Michel Germain salesperson, you know, said you insulted the fragrance in front of a customer and all that. And I was like, pungent's a word. That's a descriptive word for a smell. And then my mom's like, it's probably not the best. Word.
She's like, you knew what you were doing.
Yeah, I did. But here's the thing about these little round, little cutesy Asian faces. You can get away with a lot of shit. So I got away with shit and continue to do so.
Wait, I have a question. So going back to spraying something, then handing it to them immediately because you don't want them to like it. Why? Because like you're selling the fragrance, right?
It's a competitor. Oh. I want them to remember that Versace I sprayed for them, that whatever I sprayed for them, that's part of my line.
Got it. Okay. So you were in someone else's territory.
Yeah.
It's fucked up, I know. But you gotta make the quotas.
It's not fucked up. There's no morality on Smelly Later. I just wanted to clear up like, okay, that's amazing. I love it.
Wow, I didn't know this is gonna be an indictment on my character. No, it was honestly, for the most part, I wasn't a pushy salesperson, and I think you know, for certain people, that's what they needed. They needed somebody who would be like, okay, you know, do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. I'll be over here. And then they kind of, you know, timidly come back over and say, what about this one? And yeah, my style was very, for the most part, chill sales lady.
Yeah.
Can you talk to us about just like the act of talking to people? What am I saying? Talking to people about fragrance, like how much did you find that the baseline customer would know? Would they know how to articulate what they liked or what they were looking for? Or I guess part two of that question, like when you were pitching a fragrance to someone, did you run down the notes? Like, does tuberose mean anything to anyone in the real world? Like, how did that all come out?
You know, you'd think it would change from, you know, Sears to Holt Renfrew, but it didn't. A lot of the time, if somebody's coming into, I'm sure it's different for like you go to Dia Sindorga, you know, people walking into those stores are going to know more, I'm assuming, because it's kind of more custom and this, you know, lovely experience.
Yeah.
But department store, you say, oh, I need a bottle of Cool Waters. And they come up to you and that's what you, that's what you get though, right? Oof. So, you know, going back to your, so if somebody doesn't know how to articulate it, and most people didn't, I'd be like, well, what have you worn before?
Yeah.
And they would say A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And I'd say, oh, okay, well, those are more woodsy. Those are more floral. Those. And so I would show, so I would kind of try and, you know, sleuth it, like extract the information because, yeah, most people don't know. And then you could say, well, the top note is what you're smelling right away. It's going to dissipate very quickly. So I would say if you like the base note of something, that's what you should go for. And all this sort of, you know, you lead them, you know, gently and yeah, running down all of the things that's in the fragrance, people will just get the glazed look. So I think you something you think is really special. Like when I talked about red tea earlier, I was like walnut, because that's kind of like an interesting thing.
Right. That's really smart.
Yeah. I wonder if there is like a certain, I don't know, tactic sounds too conspiratorial, but just like, I wonder if there's like a thing that you can, like a way that you can talk to fragrance about people where they just suddenly becomes like enamored or like fascinated.
If you read the person, like if the person is like, right, because you're getting the visual of the person,
right?
Do they want to seem classy? Do they want to seem chic? Are they chic? Are they in a certain age group? You obviously are not going to show, you know, Chanel number 5 to a 20-year-old or, you know, maybe. But definitely in a department store in Calgary in 2002, you're not going to do that. But I think people are warming up to these kind of older Baroque scents. But then it was trying to appeal to, either, you know, what they were presenting or maybe their vision of themselves. Or you could say, oh, this one's so romantic. Oh, especially if you're talking to somebody who might, you know, like a man or a woman who might be interested in you kind of lay it on. Is it flirting? I don't know. You tell me.
Like all selling is like a little bit flirting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like non-sexual flirting.
Or sexual flirting.
Sure. Yeah, no, it was, and then would you really, I know it's so cheesy, but would you really find something for somebody and they really love it? It's such a good feeling.
Totally.
Totally.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way when I like, I don't know, like recommend a random beauty product to someone and they end up loving it. Like it's a good feeling.
Mm. Yeah, because you help them. Because it is like you, I don't know the last time y'all have been in a department store fragrance area. But it is overwhelming.
It's very overwhelming.
Oh my God. I would go home smelling like, you know, like 6 brothels. This is sex work positive, everything, but like it's that vibe of it's men's fragrances, it's women's fragrances, everything from CK1 to because you're always spraying things constantly for people. And of course it gets on your hands and all that.
Totally.
And
I was just going to say, isn't it funny that the fragrance counter today in all of its timelessness is still a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was recently in Nordstrom by Central Park, and because their beauty section is bonkers.
Yeah.
And they have a very like curated niche fragrance section as well as all the big shit. But the people are still down your throat. Like I was looking at like the Byredo counter, you know, and like, I don't need any of that. I have it all. But they're like, can we? And I'm like, no, I'm fine. Like, it's just, it's very, I don't know, aggressive.
They just kind of hover.
Yeah.
It is. Like, it's hovery. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very, I find it off-putting. So I try and like, I never, if somebody was like, nope, then I would walk away.
Yeah.
I wouldn't you really have to read people. And I think not all salespeople are empathetic. Cancer, the crabs. Can we talk about astrology? But I feel like there are certain aspects of selling that you have to be in tune with what you're experiencing at the moment. You can't have a script. I don't think you can have any one way of approaching people.
Of course.
I'm sorry for your experience. You know, next time you go to the buyer, do you know who I am? You have to say to them, do you know? I have all of this and more. And then you flip whatever, I don't know, a scarf.
The answer to that question, though, would be like, no. And then it wouldn't work for either of us. You know what I mean? It's like, fuck. Well, now we're both up a stream. But no, you're right, though. You do have to know how to read a room, no matter what you're doing. But especially when you work with people in that way, like, you have to know how to read the person and, like, approach them. If you are going to approach them at all and interact, like, it is. And it's never the same twice. So you like, people don't give people who work in customer service or service of any sort enough fucking credit with how smart they have to be to just get to the end of the day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I want to tell you about some of the fun things.
Please, to...
So, Sable, I think I mentioned this when we were DMing a little bit, but one of the best experiences I had was launching Flower Bomb. So when I worked for L'Oreal, who had Flower Bomb at the time, Victor and Rolf, Canada, yes. Victor and Rolf, cotton candy, sweet, 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 sweet. So of course they thought of me, but they said, okay, well, here you go. They hand me this plastic bag with this kind of knockoff Victor and Rolf pink trench coat, which had like multiple little lapels, you know, get into it.
I'm so jealous already.
I wish I kept it, honestly.
So there's like merch. I mean, it had like, there's like fragrance, like swag.
Well, that the G with P, that's a different thing. P with P, different. But this was for me and me alone. They gave me the pink trench coat. They gave me these pink fans to use instead of blotters. So I would spray the fans and then just waft.
That's glam.
That is very classy.
And I put on like my highest heels, and this was at Holt Renfrew, so I was like walking around to the different floors, walking around like around the Dior and around the everything they had in there, and I felt special. I felt great, and I wonder why. It was such a singular experience, that kind of, because I launched other fragrances before, and of course you get the little table, you get the whatever, but having it be a little bit more interesting for the person who's doing it, I think will only serve you better.
Yeah, like make it interactive and like
a costume.
Yeah, a costume.
Sable, wasn't there a Lady Dior bomber that you told me about that was sent out for PR that you really wanted but someone else got?
Probably.
You just told me about this because I Googled it for you and I was like gonna just cop it, and I found it on like Grailed, but it had been like purchased already. I was so angry.
So many things happen to other people that I want to happen to me, but like
yeah, me too, like book deals.
But I do remember getting a Victor and Rolf Flower Bomb mailer like a year or two ago, and it was one of those boxes that has like a spring action thing that when you open it like throws confetti in your face.
Absolutely not.
And it threw little flower petals, like it's a flower bomb, get it? And it terrified me. Like like my heart just like jumped into my throat. I was like legitimately terrified, and I was like, who would do this?
Yeah, that's ill-conceived.
And then PR was like, sorry.
you told them, you're like,
well, I Instagrammed it and I was like, this was legitimately terrifying. Like, good thing I didn't have a pacemaker or whatever, but like,
literally,
shit, here's the bill, buddy. Yeah. Like,
but the PR
freaking
like,
ambulance.
Sorry, and I was like, who thought this was a good idea? But like, well, also, I mean, thank you for the free perfume too.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's a lot I would go through for free stuff, but like, the whole G with like the gift of purchase and the purchase of purchase.
Yeah.
Like vibe. I'm just thinking of like, yeah, the swag. Or some people would come in, they're like, what do you got? They don't even care what they're buying.
Right.
They just want the swag.
They need and it's usually a big beach bag.
It's always like a vinyl tote.
Yes, yeah. It's always a translucent tote.
Like how many of those do you need? Like, is that really worth $80, $85 for like this 50 mil? Like, is this what we're going? I don't know.
The psychology behind gift with purchase is strong.
Truly.
Yeah.
I fall into it sometimes, but more with cosmetics than anything else. I'm like, oh, you're going to give me these like little samples. I'm like hoarding them. And
I do love the little points, like the Sephora points, when you get tiny things you'll never use. but it's free, so it feels good.
Yeah, I just started doing the whole Sephora thing. This is a tangent, but yeah, during pandemic times, I was like, send me things to slather myself. I feel like, you know, when I was asking my mom about this whole thing, you know, oh, I gotta go on a podcast. And I'm like, Mom, do you miss it? Do you miss selling? And she's like, you know what? It's totally different now. Mm. It's the companies don't put the money and the time in things. Everything's online. So maybe the department, maybe it'll die out. The crazy department store thing.
Well, that's like the big question now, because like during the pandemic, fragrance actually did see, it saw a little bit of a slump in the beginning and then it came like roaring back. And then now everyone's like, how do we sell fragrance in a digital era? And I mean, like the obvious answer is just like do free samples that give you a voucher towards a free size. Like, obviously. But then where does that leave department store counters?
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, in the dust.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And not only do they want more fine fragrance, but they especially want home fragrance and body. Like, they want a fragrance everything.
Yeah.
Now.
Everything has to have a scent.
Yeah. Which, I mean, great for us.
Yeah. Well, now they're introducing touchless scent now in stores. Like, that's a thing.
Wait, explain.
Like, it's like, it's kind of like, you know, like automatic soap dispensers or automatic like hand sanitizer, like that, but with like a spray. So like you wave a sensor and then it like sprays you.
Everything's automated. They took the jobs. Yeah. They took the spray girls' jobs.
No.
Man. Well, the whole thing about the samples, you know, because we would get boxes and boxes and boxes. And obviously some people would come up and be like, you got samples. Like they wouldn't even ask for anything specific. Yeah. And but I would always give them away. I don't give a shit. Take it. I mean, I don't want to be left at the end of the day with all this crap.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you got to wear it around. Like you said, like this, what you smell immediately is not what it's going to smell like later. So people obviously want to wear it for a while and come back.
You know, for the most part, I'd say 80% of those people are just that's what they use as perfume or samples. But that's fine too. You know, live your life.
Yeah.
But the number one thing that they would tell us, you know. Did I go through any training at any point? Well, the number one thing my mom would tell me was that you get it on the skin. Get it on the skin. And because it's like, you know, they're kind of trapped with that scent.
Yeah. It'll stay with them.
Yes. So that was
skin
a big
advertising.
Deal. Yes. And they would, you know, sometimes if you were, you know, having a legitimate, nice kind of interact with somebody, sprayed on them, you know, sometimes they would go, you know, do a little tour around the mall and then come back. It definitely worked. But the thing I wanted to say about samples. Oh, that was it. Yeah. Just like candy, whatever. Toss them, throw them. Yeah. I just want to toss them in the air. That's what they're there for, but they would tell you to like hoard them. They'd say like don't give them away to people. Ugh, who cares?
Like that's literally what they're there for. Though.
Yeah, no, it was all very strange.
That's wild.
Yeah,
yeah. Is that okay? So like, what do you think people connect to the most with fragrance? Like as they're interacting with it, or as they're thinking about it, or just like learning about it for the first time.
You know, again, if we're talking about this kind of specific customer, department store customer, it's the whole thing about scent, the memory thing. Oh, they smell it. Oh my God, this smells like my ex-boyfriend. Mm. Oh my God. Or like, it smells like my ex-boyfriend, get it away.
Right.
Would be the visceral kind of right away reaction. And then, you know, is it a celebrity fragrance? That's another huge thing that was really, I think it was Britney Spears was the hot shit. Curious. Yes. That with the round bottle with the little Diamante. Was that? So there was fantasy of, oh, is this, you know, this celebrity thing? You want to be closer to them. That's one aspect of it. So it has nothing to do with smell, but then, yeah, it was, people's faces change when it really was something.
Mm.
Of course, a lot of the time they couldn't articulate it to me, but of course, the more things we went through, the more things they picked up, the more I would know what to show them. And then narrow it down. And so, it is. So I would say it's that visceral memory thing. It's kind of a huge part of marketing. What the newest thing is, you know, as people say, well, what's the newest thing that's come out? Give me 3 bottles of that.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
That was my next question. And sorry if this is sort of like cosmic, but when people were buying fragrance, like what were they buying, or like what hole in their life were they looking to fill? Was it just like, oh, I'm out of my fragrance? Or was it like, I have a date, or I'm starting a new job, or I want someone to fall in love with me? You know what I mean? Like, what were they coming to you for actually?
Well, it was sometimes it would be, you know, though, this is my first fragrance, or this is, I saved up, you know, the $60 or the $80, you know, I don't know what I want, but I just, this is, you know, something I always, you know, my mom always had perfume, and I just want the perfume, and I want to buy it myself. So there was, I hope I'm answering your question. You know, there was that aspect to it. Can you tell me the question again? Yeah, I got lost in the moment.
Not at all. It was a great start. Just what were people usually buying the fragrance for? Maybe is a less like
esoteric way
to put it. You know what I mean? Like, was there always a reason, or was it more just like, I'm out, or I want something new? Or was it like, I've got a date tonight, or I need to impress someone? Or
usually if it's date tonight, it would be a drive-by spraying. And then they would leave. so the kind of fleeting moments, yes, I think people just kind of do their thing and then leave. But when it came to, I'm trying to think if there was, it's like, definitely I wore this with somebody, you know, when I was dating this one person, I don't want to wear this anymore. That was a huge thing.
Ooh, I could see
which,
that. Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of it, you know, the esoterics are great, you know, this ethereal, like not even defining a personality, but trying to either move forward or go back to something. Oh, I had this when I was like 20. Yeah, I would have a lot of that. I remember that there was such a robust like Guerlain area, and there'd be a lot of like older ladies coming and being like, oh, I wore this when I was this is in Paris, and that's the other thing, locations and places. People are like, I saw this in Paris, I saw this in New York, because I was in Calgary, Alberta. So it was the promise of these fancier places a lot of the time too.
That totally tracks.
Yeah. It's funny that you said that people would want something new because what they wore when they were dating someone else would remind them of that. That's odd to me. That has never happened to me before. It's always, of course, what they were wearing, but never what I've never been like, I got to get this off because my scent only reminds me of me because I am self-obsessed.
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, what if that person you were dating was like, oh, I love the way you smell. Now we're getting, the way you smell, baby. Oh, I smell so good.
I'd be like, I know.
Then you just terrorize them with it.
Exactly. Then I'm doing a drive-by. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, and you would teach people also how to put it on. Because a lot of people, and I'm sure you guys have covered this, but the whole ritual of it, and I would love telling people about it, and you just let, you know, the pulse points, don't rub it, you're going to crush the essences and
the molecules.
Yes, the molecules. It's such a, thank you. So I feel like I'm so happy to do this little trip down memory lane, because it was such a huge chunk of my life, and I actually even have like a perfume tattoo.
Yeah, same.
So does Tynan.
Oh my God, I want to see yours. I'm gonna follow you on Instagram right now.
A hot pic.
A tattoo nude.
I can send you. Yes, it's just me, like completely, like a wide shot. You're like, I don't know. You get what you get. It's okay. Yeah, I still buy, like buying perfume actually took me a really long time to get into, because I would get it for free all the time. But you guys are currently in this mode, I'm sure.
Yes.
Like, I'm not buying shit. I have 50 bottles at home.
Same. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Like I will still buy a fragrance if I like have no, like to date, I have still like the Comme des Garçons press people still elude me. So I'm just like, I guess I just have to buy their scents. But like,
which one are you considering or have bought?
I love all of that. Well, like Wonderwood and Wonder Oud are two of my favorites. And then I think Man 2. It's like it just has like a weird number 2. Like it looks like a child drew it on the bottle. Like that one also, I think is really interesting.
Scratched in.
Yeah, yeah. Like all of their bottles are I like when brands do that thing where they have the same shaped bottles in different colors or different designs on them. Like,
that's a very cool. Comme des thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very Comme des Garçons thing. And
it's like the River Rock, right? That's like their whole.
Yeah. I know. Yeah,
I love that shit.
I think we just got their contact finally.
Wait. Yeah. Did. Yeah, it is fucking on.
I got you.
Watch out. I'm very excited. Me and their inbox. So they immediately put it to spam.
Wait.
Well, I mean, that's the whole thing about, like, why are you getting more fragrances? It's that meme of, like, all the fragrances in my on my counter and, like, the one that I don't have that I actually have to pay money for. It's like, yeah, if something's unattainable, you want it more. Exactly. You want it more.
Exactly.
That's true. I think the last fragrance that I, like, dropped mad dough on was a Byredo oil. Mm. But, and, like, it was, like, I guess, like, a similar, but maybe a little bit different environment, because, like, I went to the Byredo store in Soho. There's literally one person working there. So she was a joy to talk to. I had met her, like, sort of like as an acquaintance at an event prior. So, like, I was like, oh, yeah, like, I remember you from that event. So, like, you know, we kind of had like that to go off of. But then, like, it was just nice, like, talking with her, like, because there was literally no one else there. So it would have been awkward if we didn't talk. And then she, like, very kindly gave me her employee discount.
Oh,
yeah. Which was, like, I felt like I was, like, knighted or, like, damed, whatever you call it.
you were blessed that day. Yes, I was blessed. For sure.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. And even with the discount, it was still, like, $250. So I was like, damn.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But you needed it. You want it. Yeah. You had to have it. You know, it's just.
Yeah. I felt very special.
To this day, it's few and far between what I buy, but, you know, I do think about it for a really long time. Like, I thought about the Serge Lutin 5 o'clock Au Gingembre fragrance.
Yeah, those are, like, really expensive too.
5 years. Yeah. And I would put it on and I would put it on. Oh, it's not awesome. And then I eventually just ordered it online, which is, like, the really crazy part. You know, I didn't go to a store or anything because I had done all, like, the recon.
Yeah.
But that's, like, that's my current fragrance. I love it. This is the tea one too. This is the tea and bergamot.
Oh, we got to get you all the tea scents, Sable.
I do. Yeah.
Lauren, we bulldozed right over our question that we always forget to ask our guests. So, Lauren, what do you smell like today?
Let me tell you what I just said. Serge Lutin, 5 o'clock Au Gingembre. I think that's how you say it.
Okay.
Tea, bergamot, cinnamon, candy, ginger.
Ooh.
Damn, that sounds good.
Oh, a little base note of a pepper, honey, amber, like a cow, patchouli.
She's at it again.
Is that the demo voice?
it warms up so beautifully on the skin. You have to, I'm wearing it now. I've been wearing it now for a couple hours. And do you see how it has that staying power, as a lasting power? Oh, I just love it.
Dude, you sold me.
Yeah.
Me throwing my money at Serge Lutin.
I mean, and they're kind of iconic bottles. Like, they redid the bottles, but they're the tall, skinny ones now. And I think they're incredible.
They're very, very sophisticated and, like, kind of intimidating.
Oh, fully.
Yeah.
The store in, have you seen photos? Have you been there?
I haven't been there. No.
Oh my God.
Learning, I remember, like, going to a press event. It was the first time I was introduced to their scents, and, like, even having the perfumer just explain them to me, I was like, what?
Yeah. Oh, that's another thing. People never ask who the nose is for.
Of course not. Yeah. People never think about that. Yeah.
Like, just so you know, just in case you were wondering if that ever left anyone's lips. No. No.
Yeah. I always wonder if there's a certain type of scent that people will always generally or, like, universally kind of like or enjoy.
Some type of Digio, CK1. If we're talking about now, I have no idea. I have been out of the game. I don't know what the, like, people are super into, like, kind of mass market. But it was this almost a, not that they were unpleasant, but it was an absence of anything too remarkable.
Incense. They're back again.
Back, well, the 90s are back, you know.
The fresh aquaticness of the 90s.
I still think, though, that, like you said, Acqua di Gio and CK1, like, people still fuck with those.
Yeah.
And I can't say that I blame them. I don't think like they've been ruined for me, but they're also very good.
Yeah.
You know,
they're perfectly, yes, like serviceable classics for sure. And, yeah. and I think that, like, is there anything across the board? I think it comes down to marketing. Because people come in like with like sometimes with the magazine tear sheet with the little flappy thing, you know. So
I always wonder that because like fragrance ads to me like visually are obviously very arresting, but like do not compute when it comes to whether you will or won't like the scent. So I'm like, why are they putting all this money behind this like really crazy looking ad? Like what?
Yeah.
Like what does it work?
They're homogenous too. It's the same shit over and over again. And I worked at Bumble and Bumble for a while in the art department. And so the whole cosmetics marketing, like they have the art department who's going to be like, we want to do something interesting for fuck's sake. And the marketing is like, absolutely not. I did interesting stuff at Bumble because it was like kind of the tail end of a really amazing creative director being there who really fought for that. But I think for the most part, this homogenous kind of mass market marketing is what gets the butts in the department stores.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sheeple.
And then there's a lady who wants like the fragrance that smells like Snatch, right?
Yeah.
There's always going to be those special gems.
It always goes back to her. That was a party.
That was a party.
I love that.
Man, that like brought me back to my like the mall days.
I know. Don't you miss the mall?
I know. I do. Every time I've been to a mall now, like in recent years, it's like such a marvel at how much they've changed in like the post-digital era.
Totally.
It's creepy.
I guess I live next to a mall. Oh, I don't anymore. I moved. Okay. But like when I live next to Hudson Yards, it's like you walk in and the first thing you see is like a Cartier and a Fendi. It's like, this doesn't count.
That doesn't count as a mall. No, like when I worked at, when I worked at Condé, when I worked at XO, the Brookfield mall.
Yeah.
And the Oculus, which are also malls. Like, to me, they don't read as traditional malls.
No. You need, like, an Orange Julius, a Sbarro.
Yes.
A Hot
Topic. It needs to be a labyrinth.
Yeah.
Like, it needs to be so vast and confusing.
You need a Claire's.
Yes. Yeah, there's, like, too much luxury stores. And I'm like, who the fuck is going here? Like, they want to go to Fifth Avenue. Why would they come here?
Yeah.
Apparently, a lot of people did go there, though.
Apparently.
I don't know. But...
we can't have luxury items in a mall.
Right? There was like, I remember there was a Sugarfina at the Oculus. And like Sugarfina just sells expensive
candy,
gummy bears.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, what the fuck? And I'm like, I know the rent here is astronomical. What are you doing?
No idea.
It's like.
It's tourists. Yeah. Says the person who's been in New York for 4 minutes.
Yeah. That's true. Tourists do spend a lot of money on things they could get where they're from.
Right. Right.
Now I'm like, oh, I want to go to a department store and like talk to the fragrance people.
What I loved about Lauren was that she didn't like fall into the job, which would have been great if she did, but she like grew up watching her mom do it and had this like reverence for it and this interest in it and like wanted to do that. And I just feel like her story is so unique to her because it's something she aspired to be. Yeah. She saw like the glamour of like sales and like being the perfume woman and became that. I think that's so cool.
God, I want one of those giant bottles.
I know.
Like just like as a sculptural item in my home.
There's this one photo.
Oh.
That I've of... Ariana Grande with one of those huge bottles of Cloud. And I'm like, where does it live and how much do you want for it? Because I will pay
like,
up
how do
for
you,
it.
How do people get them?
No idea. And I'm sure they're terrible quality because they need to just sit, you know?
Well, it's just like water with food coloring in it.
I don't even think half the time there's actually anything in it.
Really?
If they're that
liquid
big.
In it.
The ones that I've seen are just like sculptural, like aesthetic moments.
Yeah.
But
I kind of want one of the big Apple-y bottle item like ones, like a Nina Ricci. Nina.
Yes. Yes.
Or like Dior Hypnotic Poison. Like I just want a big ass apple.
Hell yeah. I bet we could find those.
Yeah. Yeah. Me Googling big ass perfume bottle.
She said the name of what they were called, right?
Yeah.
When we edit this, I'm going to Google it.
Same.
You're going to come over and I'm just like living in a...
I still have to figure out a storage solution for my existing fragrance collection because I feel like the IKEA wardrobes were not made for this amount of weight.
No.
Ugh. One day I just like hear a crash and I'm like, oh no.
Oh, please don't speak that into existence. tell us how you store your fragrances.
Yes.
Follow us on Instagram at smellyoulater.mp3.
I'm at Sabletooth Tigra.
I'm at Tynan Buck.
And we will smell you later.
Smell you later.